My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert. He represents the Lone Star State's 1st Congressional District. He is a member of the House Judiciary Committee, and he is a former judge in the state of Texas. He joins us today to talk about the latest developments in the immigration debate, specifically as it relates to Republican efforts to stop funding of the president's unilateral action on immigration announced back in November. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. It's good to be with you.
Well, the plan from the get-go here in the new Republican Congress on both sides of the Hill was to pass funding for the Department of Homeland Security, which is currently scheduled to run out at the end of the month, but not include money to fund the president's program to
That sure wasn't my strategy.
that was passed the House, and in the Senate right now, it's not looking like it's going to get the 60 votes necessary to even get to the president's desk, much less survive a veto. I've talked to a lot of different members on this, Congressman, and I asked them what happens if the Senate can't move this or if the president successfully vetoes it. And all I seem to hear is, well, we just need to change some more minds and to hope that we can get to 60 in the Senate. If that doesn't happen, what's plan B?
Well, first of all, we're in a box because our leadership decided to fund everything the president cared about and only leave Homeland Security unfunded and expecting to use that as leverage. That's why we're in the box. As you may recall, I was totally against that because I saw, wait a minute, you're giving up all the leverage. You're giving up everything that the president wants, and then you're going to leave us in position of negotiating by saying, now, if you don't stop this unconstitutional, unilateral amnesty that you are doing illegally, then we're not going to fund the Border Patrol. We're not going to fund people that are going to keep us safe. And I just couldn't imagine that kind of negotiation. I've negotiated big deals before I went on the bench as a judge, and I just, you know, trying to look at what leverage you have. I'm afraid that we gave the best leverage we have away. But the other problem, too, in talking about what's plan B if we don't get there, I mean, I've had some very liberal papers that have never been kind to me say, what's plan B? Well, frankly, if I have a plan B, they're going to be the last people I say. If we already are talking about plan B before we give up on plan A, then we're never going to have any chance on plan A. If you understand and will appreciate the position, it's tough to talk about a plan B if you're still actually honestly pushing plan A.
Do you get the sense that the Senate will be able to find the 60 votes?
I'm hoping they will. Of course, in days of old, when the House did earmarks, well, they would just buy them off with a project in their district or something and get the needed votes. The Senate still has earmarks, but I'm not a fan of buying votes with earmarks. I think people ought to be taking positions based on what's right and what's not. And this is the right thing to do is stop the unilateral action. And I'm sure you're so plugged in. I'm sure you saw the story that Obama is now talking about allowing all those people to whom he's given unconstitutional amnesty the ability to bring in extended family members. They'll call it immediate family, but, I mean, so the 5 million can turn into 20 million, 25 million, once you start bringing in all the other family members. This is part of his fundamentally transforming America, and it's time that we worry some about the Americans who are here, who are struggling, whose income has not advanced at all with the Wall Street mass money that's been created for their pockets. So we've got to stop it. And I really think that there are enough union members and Democrats in the country who are feeling the pinch of the illegality of this president's amnesty that are going to push their Democratic senators and members of Congress to stand more firmly with them. If we get enough members of Congress putting pressure on their senator, that can be helpful as well.
Congressman, you've made it clear you did not at all support the Cromnibus strategy back in December, and you just explained to us why you think it leaves Republicans in a box right now. Do you believe Republican leadership is adamantly committed to fighting this and just had a bad strategy, or do you think they're not going to be all that upset if the president ends up winning this round?
Well, that's been my concern all along. I know that they were not all that concerned about the president's amnesty. All the right things were said after the November election gave us the majority in the Senate and more seats in the House that we were going to fight. The expression was tooth and nail. Hadn't seen any teeth or nails coming out on this particular issue, but I know the bill back in July that was supposed to be a great border bill was a de facto amnesty bill. We were able to stop that and prevent the votes, our own leadership from having the votes, and we sat down on that Thursday night after they realized they didn't have the votes, and some of us it made a real difference, and we got a border bill that was acceptable. And it was great to have Republicans come together on a bill like that. But the bottom line is the Speaker was pushing a bill that he didn't write, and he wouldn't tell us who did. We knew the Committee of Jurisdiction didn't write it because I'm on that committee. And actually, Bob Goodlatte and some of our committee that does have jurisdiction, Judiciary, sat down, were in that room that night, and we got a decent bill. So there's plenty of reasons to be concerned about the dedication of our leadership. And but if Americans keep making their voice heard, then people will listen. And, Greg, that includes Democrats. They will listen when their constituents respond. And there are Democrats that are hearing this and should let their senators know.
We're talking with Texas Republican Congressman Louis Gohmert. Sir, just a couple minutes left in our conversation. I want to get your reaction to another story on immigration that broke in the Washington Times a couple of days ago. Quoting them now, new documents reveal that the Obama administration has issued roughly 5.5 million work permits to non-citizens without congressional authorization. The documents, obtained through a Freedom of Information Act request by the conservative-leaning Center for Immigration Studies, demonstrate what critics call a shadow or parallel immigration system that infringes on employment opportunities for Americans. The 5.5 million work permits issued by administrative action are in addition to the 5 million green cards and 3.5 million guest worker permits authorized by Congress from 2009 to 2014. That, according to Fox News. Sir, what do you know in addition to this, and what can you do about it?
Well, there's word that that 5 may have actually been 7. We're trying to get to the bottom of that. But it is outrageous, and it is a part and parcel of the lawlessness that we've been dealing with in this administration. Unfortunately, when you have 50% of the American people who are saying, hey, we're okay with not having checks and balances in our government, it's a way you lose a country. And I believe there's enough people in Congress, in the House and Senate, that don't want to lose this country. We don't want to lose this little experiment, as Franklin said, this republic, if we can keep it. If we allow the president to continue this kind of lawlessness, there will not be a republic. We will be morphing over into more of a totalitarian, dictatorial type country. And that's what normally happens when you have a representative form of government. People get apathetic and forget to notice the things that kept it representative. And people start saying what I've heard people in America say, well, maybe we just need a good, you know, caring dictator to clean things up, and then we can go back to a democracy. And as I'm sure you know, as Reagan talked about, no generation that loses their freedom gets it back in the same generation. It's something we have to guard against, and American people have got to speak up so that other senators and representatives will respond in kind.
And what specifically do you hope you can do about it if you get enough people outraged about this?
Well, then we can start cutting off the things that the president cares about and must pass legislation that he's got to sign. And there are bills that he cares very deeply about, and it doesn't, you can put him on the horns of a dilemma. And we just got to have our leadership feel strongly enough about this issue. They will use the leverage that we have instead of giving it away time after time.
Congressman, thank you very much for your time today, sir. We appreciate it very much.
Thanks so much, Greg.
You bet, sir. Texas Republican Congressman Louie Gohmert represents his state's 1st Congressional District, member of the House Judiciary Committee, longtime judge in the state of Texas as well. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.